Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day for the right way. I threw a word in there that didn't belong. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Sarepta.
Interesting name.
I think I got it right. S-A-R-E-P-T-A. Sarepta.
Well, one's thing for certain.
You might know where it is. It's in Calhoun County. It's between Bruce and Randolph on Highway 9.
Sarepta.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to tell us the correct pronunciation and be like, oh my gosh, yes, I've known that my whole life. Yeah. But as we speak, it's not ringing.
Well, there you go. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Just go to the website and order it. Be delivered right to your door, and you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Always gets me that the seat of Calhoun County is Pittsburgh and not Bruce or Calhoun City.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess it's in the middle. It's between two cities.
So. You know, it might have been a booming metropolis.
Might have been at one time, and then they were like, hey, we found something better in Bruce and Calhoun City.
They have a square in Calhoun City. Let's come over
Let's
here.
Let's go over there. But they don't let you cruise it anymore.
That's right. My dad used to do that.
Oh,
all the
I'm
time,
sure.
Man.
He would. Big Daddy probably ran that show.
Steely Dan and the 8-track, just cruising through, just waiting for somebody to say something.
Yeah.
If somebody just looked at him wrong, he's parked, stepped out, and challenged them to a fight. My dad.
Well, I guess we're just gonna have to kick your ass right here, buddy.
My dad was quite the personality, still is, but a little bit different now.
A little different now, yeah.
He's a man of God these days.
That's right.
Man of the cloth.
Yes. Yes. There you go. Pitt Printing and Signs. I lost total concentration there. Pitt Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. What it means is this. If you need customers to come in the front door of your business, you can call Pitt Printing and Signs, and they can put together a plan. They can put together marketing materials. They can put together signage, graphics, banners. Anything it takes to get somebody's attention to your business, they've got it. So you need to give them a call and find out what they can do for you. And best of all, when you do call them and you say, hey, I heard about you on Thunder and Lightning, they're going to give 10% of whatever you sell with them to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. So you become a Bulldog Initiative business. If you already own a business, you know you already spend money on printing. So that means that this is money that you don't have to add to any kind of donations. You can just give your business to Pitt Printing and Signs, and they'll take care of the rest. That's a great deal. Call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. He'll take care of the rest. Tell me you just heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. And you are looking for it. You need new gear. We're starting a new era here at Mississippi State. Don't bring us down. Don't be part of the old era. Don't remind us of the bad old days of the Banner M. Get on board with the state script and the new attitude here at Mississippi State. It starts with getting yourself some new gear. Two locations in the Jackson area to serve you, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. If you're going to be in the Cotton District anytime soon, you need to be over at Ben 612 to enjoy not only the great nightlife, but a great and underrated restaurant. Robbie and I, we're going to make a trip to Ben 612 this week. We're going to do some research, you know, because we've been talking about Restaurant Tyler for all these years here. And, you know, it's just been like, I know Restaurant Tyler, but I never go eat at Ben 612. I don't eat there as often as I should. So this week, Robbie, we're going to call it market research.
Okay.
We'll send the receipt to Super Talk, and they'll have to pay for it because we were there for work.
This is research.
It's research.
We're actually working.
Yeah.
We're going to
order everything on the menu.
Okay.
Take a bite of everything, get an idea of what we're dealing with, and we'll go from there. I think that's something SuperTalk's going to have to pay for.
$1 million.
I'll get it approved.
Idea.
Don't worry.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So, if you're going to be in the Cotton District and you want to have a great meal at a great location, enjoy yourself at Ben 612. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi ready to serve you. PriorityOneBank.com. That's the website. Find the location nearest you and find out how they're going to work for your money at Priority One Bank. You did the hard work of getting the money to the bank. Let Priority One Bank show you how easily they can help you manage your money, help you invest, and help you build a financial portfolio that will benefit you and your family for years and years to come. It's all at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We got Robbie Falk in the studio for the first time, I think. I can't tell you the last time you were here. I don't remember.
It's been a long time.
It's been a minute.
Here's how long I've been away. We have these two microphones over here by each other.
Yeah.
And they were... This one that I don't use was like in all my space, and I was like, "Wait, when did we get two microphones over here?" And you were like, "Literally since I've been here."
Mm-hmm.
So I've forgotten everything about this room.
Yeah,
I've missed it.
Well, welcome back. Glad to have you.
Good to be here.
I thought today we are going to steal a topic here. You know. So there are some people who have made a cottage industry of stealing content from other people. We're going to at least be honest about it and tell you that my handsome young son, Tyler Horka, did this for Notre Dame. And I saw it. I was like, that's a really good idea. So let's take it from him. So, Tyler, if you're listening, thank you for the...
He's not.
I think some of our
most of the time, he's not even looking at our group message.
That's true. Whenever I want to make sure Tyler sees something, I always have to tag him.
Yeah.
So that he'll look. Otherwise, you're doing 50-50 at best. Well, maybe somebody will tell him. I don't know. But what we've got here, Robbie, is I want you to talk about players. We're going to talk about players for Mississippi State this season, that it's now or never. The first thing we got to say is we can't take seniors into account. Like, I'm not going to say it's now or never for Demonte Russell.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this year. He doesn't have anything else to give. I want to talk about players who still have some time at Mississippi State, who still have eligibility after this season. But if they can't get it together this season, I'm just going to be like, well, I'm not worried. I'm not going to consider them in the future.
Was I supposed to prepare for this?
No.
Okay.
I feel like it goes better when we just talk off the hip.
Yeah. But like, I didn't know if I was supposed to pick my guys. Or...
Yeah, you should. Well, I've got a few. And then if you've got a few, that'll work too. I've got most of them. Obviously, are going to be on the defensive side of the ball, right? I can't say. Can I say now or never for Blake Shapen?
Yeah,
I mean, I guess you could.
I mean, this is well,
but I feel like that's unfair.
Doesn't he have one more season left?
He has one more after this, so that you could say that.
But if he's not good this year, you're going to get somebody else. So yeah, I think it definitely applies for him.
The reason I say it's maybe it's a little unfair. First year, this isn't a guy who's been at Mississippi State that I've been kind of waiting to develop. This is just his first year. But at the same time, you're right. If he doesn't have a good year this year, I will not be pushing for him to be the starter next year. I would be like, you got to go in the portal and get another guy. You got to, hope that Michael Van Buren or Chris Parson can take it, something like that. So let's start on the defensive side of the ball. And a guy that you and I, we hyped up a lot in the recruiting process. A lot. We talked about, we used names like Chris Jones and Jeff Simmons and said this is going to be a guy who's going to be on that same path. That's Trevion Williams. Mm-hmm. Injuries have just wiped him out here at Mississippi State.
Now, we didn't say on that level, but we did say.
We said that he was the next guy in that
NFL
lineage.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lineage of Fletcher Cox and then Chris Jones and then Jeff Simmons, and that Trevion Williams is going to be that next NFL first round kind of guy. It hasn't happened here at Mississippi State. And State is in dire need of somebody who can rush the passer and be a bull up front that commands attention. And Trevion Williams is going to have that opportunity this year. If he doesn't do it this year, this is the year where I have to say, well, I just don't ever expect him to blossom.
He is a sophomore this year?
He should be a redshirt sophomore.
What do you mean if he doesn't do it? If he doesn't reach his full potential,
if he's not a player that by the end of the season I'm going like he's one of the best, better defensive linemen in the SEC. I'm gonna set high expectations for him.
That is pretty high. I'm not ready to give up on him if he doesn't.
I need him to show up and be the guy that we thought he could be a couple years ago, a guy who can disrupt games for Mississippi State.
Yeah, no, I think that you want to definitely see that. If he's showing flashes of that and he's fairly consistent this year,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you can write him off just yet. Because here's right. the thing. He didn't play. I don't know if he played at all as a true freshman, did he?
He played as a true freshman a little bit. Not much.
Two or three games,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
And then last year.
He was out the whole year.
He was out most of the season. So it's kind of different circumstances because he hurt his knee. And you never really know how players are going to react to that the year after going through that kind of surgery. So I'm not ready to give up on him just yet if he doesn't show that NFL potential right away this year and is not dominating the game. But you definitely need to see a semblance of it. You definitely want to see that he's moving in that direction. Can you have like 25 plays this year where he really flashes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying he has to come out and get like 10 sacks this year. Those aren't my expectations for him. I think it would be foolish to expect him to be, you know, all SEC this year. But I do want to be able to have tangible evidence that this guy is, like we've said, the potential future of, you know, that next group of guys that's going to kind of take over in the NFL. I think he has the ability. Sorry, I got a lot of gas coming up through my mouth right now from Obie's. would you rather it the other way?
I know, but it's always like I always make the joke on Sports Talk because Richard is always eating. He's always eating
during the show.
If you watch it, he's always eating.
And like pretty skinny guy.
Yeah.
And so he has a high metabolism.
I always make the comment like, if you had to make a bet on somebody who would be eating while we were on camera, who would you bet on? And you would lose that money. And it's the same thing today. Like, if you had to bet that one of us was going to burp on camera or on the
microphone. That was kind of an inadverted.
It was.
But I've kind of gotten used to just burping whenever I want to. So I try to contain myself sometimes.
I get that. Well, I guess let's try it. I'm not saying that Trevion Williams. I don't need Trevion Williams to have such a great season that we're saying he's probably going to go ahead and go pro mm-hmm. at the end of this year. I don't need that.
Yeah.
But what I need from him is that I can pencil him into the starting lineup, and I know that I'm going to get positive plays from him every game.
Yeah, I mean we've seen so many guys come through, and you're just like, all right, we try to will them into the starting positions, and it just like never clicks.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, we kept waiting for Chris Jones to be. You know, game wrecker, what he's doing in the NFL right now, we never truly saw that at Mississippi State. We saw that, like, for certain plays every now and then. We never saw Chris Jones reach his full potential at Mississippi State. And sometimes that's a little frustrating that we never saw that. So my hope is that what you get out of Trevion Williams is eventually what you were hoping you would have gotten out of Chris Jones.
Yeah, it's like, I don't need Montez Sweat this year.
Yeah,
but I do need Denico Autry. You know, I need something like that. Just a solid guy, and then next year he can take off, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But he's got to start delivering this year. If he is still struggling, then I'm going to say at the end of this year. No.
Well, and you almost have to have it because there's mm-hmm. just not a ton of guys on your defensive line that have that kind of potential, and you have to have some guys that are. You know, rising to the occasion for you this year because you can't have a defensive line that doesn't have any push. I mean, that's with a defense that has so many question marks in it, secondary linebackers, those guys have got to have the defensive line doing some work up there. And that even means, like, these guys that we said were, like, depth guys coming in, Kedrick Bingley-Jones, Suleiman Kapaka. Those guys have got to be more than just what we consider depth guys. Those guys have got to be good for him this year. And Trevion Williams is definitely one of the defensive guys. You have got to have him start to reach his full potential.
Yeah. Another one, you probably can guess who I'm going to say here, but it's John Lewis.
Yeah.
John Lewis has got to deliver. John Lewis was one of the highest-rated recruits State signed in his class. A guy that, you know, State fans were really nervous that he wasn't going to sign with Mississippi State. They end up getting him. Great athletic linebacker, great speed. And, you know, I can put part of this, I think, on the former coaching staff. We've talked about it 1,000 times. They were poor at roster management and getting guys reps in situations where they needed them.
And the defense is going to suffer this year.
It's going to suffer because of this year. But Lewis is a guy this year who's going to have an opportunity to start. State is in dire, dire need of pass rush in this defense. And he can be a guy who provides that. If he doesn't do it this year, then I'm just going to assume it's never going to happen.
Yeah, that's definitely one. Like, I'm on the fence with Trevion because I can understand if he's not 100% right away and he's not ready to roll, you know, and just crushing opposing offensive lines. But John Lewis has been here. This is year four for him, I think. He was in that 20.
Well, he signed with Moorhead, didn't he?
He was committed by Moorhead, and then he's.
Right.
I think that's right. He's
3 years of Leach. So he got 3 years of Leach and 1 year of Arnett.
Yeah. No. So, well, maybe. Was he 2021 class?
I'll look.
He was in class with MJ Daniels and.
That's Leach's first signing class.
21.
So he would have signed in. I mean, he's listed as a senior. True freshman 2021.
Okay. Yeah. Sophomore. He was during COVID. He was recruited during COVID for the 21 class.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, 21, 22, 23, this is year four.
That's weird. They list him as a senior.
That whole thing's out of whack.
Yeah, he's a redshirt junior.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk to our good friend Brandon Langlois, who I know has his hands full, but that thing's a little out of whack.
Yeah.
Because I've looked at some, they're a little off. But John, he's another one of those, like Trevion, you can see the oozing of potential. Like, you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
It just flashes. And you saw it when he was in high school, just violent film. It was really impressive. I saw him against Starkville. He was constantly in the backfield. And I think that this guy has all the potential in the world. But one of the things is he's just had some guys ahead of him. And I thought last year he started to get a little more playing time, and you could kind of see it a little bit. There was one sack or tackle for loss that he had where he just busted through the line and just destroyed some dude. I think it was Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember seeing that. I saw the interlocking and the 98 uniforms. I was like, that is what they need more of, is that. It looked like Mississippi State football. John Lewis looked like Mississippi State football. And you can see that potential, and you can see him kind of transforming in the offseason into that leadership role. We're getting him more in interviews. That's usually when I start to gather that these guys have taken the next step, is when you start seeing Brandon and those guys bring in those kind of players. And we haven't really talked to John Lewis since he's been here, and now he's doing interviews, you know, every 2 weeks. So that gives me a lot of hope for him this year. And obviously we didn't see hardly any practices this season in the spring, so who's to know where he is. But I can only believe that this is going to be a major step for him this year, and he's going to have some production. And you would love to see him stick around, but I almost want him to be an NFL guy this year.
Mm-hmm.
If he is, really that means that you've done something really good, and that's probably been a big thing for a big development for your defense. If he's able to get drafted this year, you know, in the first three or four rounds or whatever, but this dude has all the potential. He's a instinctual player, playmaker ability. I would hope that this is the year that he really takes that step forward.
I think for the offensive side of the ball, I feel like I got to get one offensive guy. But it's tough, right? I mean, there's so many new faces. I can't – like I said, I feel bad about putting Shapen on there because I just don't know what to expect from him in year one in a new system.
And there's not a lot of guys that were just like, is this person ever going to get it going?
Like, the answer is probably Jaden Wally. But
yeah.
This is it for him, right? Yeah. This is his last year, isn't it? So he's got
– Yes.
He did not redshirt.
In 2020, but that didn't matter.
But he gets
one,
the extra
two,
COVID
three,
year.
Four. This is year.
This
four.
Is last year. But yeah. So that's probably the correct answer. But it is.
This is the last year for him. COVID.
This is the last year. It should be anyway. I'm sure there'll be somebody who.
There will
find
be some guys that were injured or something.
So then I guess on this side of the ball, do I go with Albert Reese?
You could, but he's kind of steadily progressed. I don't think that's a guy that we've ever just said, like, when is it ever going to click with him? You know, like,
it's just a guy that I thought would be a starter last year and really wasn't. And now,
well, he was in or out. He was in and out.
He was in and out. I just, from the time he's got here, I just looked at his frame. I was like, this is a guy that I think can be a big player for Mississippi State. And it feels like the stage is set for him to do that this year, that I think he's going to be one of the starters. And if he doesn't deliver on that, I'm just going to be like, well, he's just a depth piece.
I could definitely say that. This is the year, which I don't think there's any question that he's starting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as of right now, I don't think we have anything to be concerned about there. Interestingly enough, he's been versatile and good enough that they've kind of moved him around the different positions, not because they can't really figure out what he is, but because he is kind of a versatile guy. I look at him, and since he was in high school, I've always said, this dude's an NFL guy.
Mm-hmm.
And there haven't been a ton of Mississippi State offensive linemen in a long time that I've been able to look at and say, like, that's an NFL guy. You know, John Hevesy had
Charles Cross, basically the only one in the last like 5-6 years.
You know, John Hevesy had some really solid guys that were all, like, developmental pieces or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot out of them, but they were practice squad players. Gabe Jackson was kind of the anomaly there.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got here, I don't know if we all said that's an NFL guy.
Martinez Rankin
was probably, you know, one. But this is a guy that when I look at him, I can see NFL. And it's all over him. The body style, the versatility, good feet, good hands. It would shock me if he doesn't have a good season this year.
So those are three guys that I've got that I look at and go, man, if they don't have a big season this year, I'm just probably gonna say for the rest of the time, well, I don't expect much from them. Who am I leaving out? Who's somebody you're thinking of? I mean, because there's just I think I'm looking in the secondary, right? I can't really say that with Pollock. Because he's just a red shirt or just a sophomore at best.
I mean, you say that with like Hunter Washington at all?
Ellington and Washington are the
because
ones.
Because there's some murmurs that he might not even be starting.
If that's the case, then yeah, it's now or never. Yeah, I agree with
and
that.
And like, he had some good moments last year, but I never really like. It was never like he just and blew it up. And I remember his freshman year.
That's what
year.
I was going to say. Like, there was a lot of talk coming out of practice like, hey, he might really
remember
be.
He was, like, starting in the Liberty Bowl, yeah. Which a bunch of people were out. But it was kind of moving in the direction of him being, like, the next really good safety for Mississippi State. And he definitely needs to have a really good fall. I'll say that. You know, he entered the transfer portal. And, you know, that was what it was. But he's back. But he's going to have to fight. He's going to have to fight Tyler Woodard mm-hmm. for that position. Tyler Woodard had impressed in the spring. It's not going to be easy for him, so this is a big one for him.
Offensively, do we leave anybody out? I mean, is Kevon Lee?
You know, three of the starters on the offensive line, at least, are going to be transfer
guys.
Yeah,
I can't
go that on. Have already proven it.
Yeah.
You know, running backs.
Is it Lee?
It might be Lee or Pittman. But you're already kind of looking at that. And, like, Johnny Daniels, it looks like, might pass both of those guys.
Yeah, and Devon
And then you
Booth.
Have Devon Booth who's going to be the starter. So yeah. it really probably is Jaden Wally.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he doesn't, like, find himself in the mix this year, he really isn't going to play anymore.
Right.
I mean, this is a big year for him, and there's a lot of receivers there at his position.
Yeah.
So this is, and I'm pulling for him because he's just a great dude. He always just kind of, you know, does his thing. He's not a guy that's going to be, you know, all about himself. He's, you know, he had that great freshman year, and it's just kind of sucked that he hadn't been able. And I always, like, I wonder that injury he had in the spring game in 21. I wonder if that had any effect on him long term.
I think it had to have. Because like, that was an injury. I remember when that happened, and we were all like, he's done.
And you know, he came back, but he hasn't really been the same.
I agree. So interesting to think about. You know, there are definitely these kind of guys on this roster this year. And then there are a bunch of guys who have their whole careers in front of them. The good news for me is Lewis and Williams, I think they're going to be given the opportunity. So if I'm correct about their athleticism and their ability, then they'll deliver because they're going to get the reps. This isn't going to be like the last couple years where they've been sitting on the bench, even with State up big or down big, because nobody wanted to change anybody out. So we'll see where it goes. Let's move into the rest of the show, brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. I'm going to hold off on looking at my phone.
It actually comes at a perfect time when you're talking about moving over and we're talking about cattle.
I'm definitely going to wait. This is brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. You know, we talk all the time about cooking out in the backyard. It's grilling season, no doubt about it. But there are so many great restaurants serving steak here in our great state. You know, people think about great steakhouses and they think about New York and Las Vegas, and that's fine. But you can get a great steak just about anywhere in the state of Mississippi. And don't have to look for the fanciest places either. Some of those down-home places around town are always going to have great steaks.
I was just telling you about Harvey's, the Creole ribeye.
Yeah. You were talking about that. And then you're talking about
restaurant
some other place.
Restaurant Tyler's
in Eupora that I need to go check out with a
Mitchell's.
Great steak. Mitchell's.
Really good steak.
And then when I was in Jackson.
And we still have to go to Nails.
In Jackson on Thursday. I ate at Krishali's for the first time.
Ooh.
Really good. Really good old school steakhouse. And
what's the steakhouse that sponsors a six pack?
Ely's. I've heard great things. I want to go there.
Char.
They have Kibbe. I want to go.
Oh, do they?
They have Kibbe. But also, when I was in Jackson, Will East was telling me a place called Wendell's Straight Steakhouse in Jackson. He said it's unbelievable.
There's so many good steakhouses.
They're
in
all over the place. My favorite steakhouse, one of my favorite in my hometown of Vicksburg, the Beechwood. Incredible steak. You can get a great steak.
Now I want steak, and I'm actually full, but I would.
We'll go get a steak after.
Fine.
All right. Enjoy a great steak this week. And of course, if you're cooking out this week for the 4th of July, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked southern soul food that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. You are looking for the smoked wings, the pork rind nachos, the prime rib sandwich, the pulled pork grill.
The pork rind nachos?
Yeah.
You want a little Daddy Deeds?
I thought you were going to go another way there. Ah. And our buddy Battle went to the older brother this week.
Oh.
And he's like...
Brian. Is that his first trip?
Yeah, he's like, Brian, you were not wrong. You were not. I mean, I'm not wrong. It's a fantastic place.
I had a buddy, my buddy Nathan Rowell. He went yesterday. He said
it was fantastic.
It was outstanding.
The older brother is a restaurant we need here in Starkville, so please go and check them out. They got stuff that you can't get anywhere else.
Starkville, just a PSA, okay?
When new places
Starkville is killing it in the food scene right now. And people that haven't been here in a while, they crap on Starkville. Mm-hmm. People that have never been here crap on Starkville. I've always said this. I will take you to a breakfast, lunch, and dinner spot in this town. And if you don't enjoy yourself, and if you don't enjoy the food, then it just is what it is.
Then, maybe you just weren't capable.
But this place is killing it right now. We were at Boardtown yesterday. I mean, you can get just about anything inside the city of Starkville.
Yeah.
And everything that's popping out right now is just better than you imagine. So it's in a good spot right now. It's a sweet spot.
Yes. And the two brothers and the older brother right there at the hub of it there in the Cotton District. Next time you're in Starkville, make sure you're at one of those two restaurants. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business System. They've been doing it for 49 years. It's got to be coming on 50 years now. We're halfway through the year as of today.
You're going to have to get somebody to get you the exact
date. I need
the
date.
Yes.
I'm going to reach out. I'll make it happen. And you guys can reach out, and they'll make it happen for you when you need technology. If you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, call Advantage Business Systems. And then if something goes wrong and you need service, you simply call them back, and they will take care of it for you. No questions asked. Easy to take care of. Easy timing. You don't have to wait a week to 10 days to wait on somebody to show up. It's somebody here in the state of Mississippi, so they can be there the same day. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at the games this fall, you need to be at Maroon & Co. If you're in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, you need to go to Maroon & Co. If you're sitting at home and you're like, I need to order some Mississippi State gear, go to the website, maroonandco.com. Best of all, use the promo code. Save some money. Thunder15, 15% off your purchase, regular price, off regular price. Some exclusions will apply. But if you want to get some great-looking stuff, things that you can't find anywhere else, all the logos that you want, they're right there at Maroon & Co. Before you're at Davis Wade Stadium, you need to be at Maroon & Co. All right, let's talk a little recruiting. This is a good year for recruiting in this state. We've talked about it a number of times. But, you know, this state, Robbie, it produces great talent every year. What it doesn't produce every year are elite quarterbacks. And we've got two of them in the state of Mississippi this year, one of which is committed to Mississippi State. So, I talked to Marshall Levinson. He covers recruiting nationally for Rivals. He was at the Elite 11 event a week ago and caught up with him to talk about Kamario Taylor, Mississippi State's quarterback commitment, and, of course, about some of the great recruiting news that's been going on here at Mississippi State. Got his thoughts on Jeff Lebby as a recruiter. Got his thoughts on Caleb Cunningham as well. Let's go to that interview now with Marshall Levinson from Rivals.com. Let's talk recruiting on this Thunder and Lightning Extra. I've got Marshall Levinson here. He covers recruiting nationally for Rivals and for Yahoo Sports. He was at the Elite 11 event a week ago, which is why I wanted to have him on this podcast. Talk about Mississippi State's quarterback commitment, Kamario Taylor. Just start us off, Marshall, with what you thought of him. What did you know about Kamario Taylor coming in, and then what did you think of him coming out?
You know, going in, you know, I'd seen him before in some 7-on-7 settings at national tournaments. So I went in with kind of a base knowledge of what he was, a big athlete, a great athlete, guy with a big arm, someone that we knew could push the ball down the field. But, you know, this event was going, you know, going in, we wanted to see, you know, can he throw to all parts of the field with such a big arm? And, you know, what was the accuracy like? And did he have some finesse and some touch? And, you know, wanted to check out the footwork and just the functional movements. And, you know, those are the little pieces of the puzzle that go into playing the quarterback position. And so, you know, over a 2 or 3 day period, we really got to see a lot of them and, you know, we're able to put together a bigger picture, a better picture of what we already knew about him. So, you know, it was good going out there to see him. And, you know, he was certainly impressive. You know, just as all those guys out there, it was an elite group that he was a part of out there.
You kind of hit on something there in your description. Is Taylor an athlete playing quarterback, or is he a quarterback who's a good athlete?
Right now, I would say probably an athlete playing quarterback. You know, I think he was probably one of the more raw quarterbacks out there, which is not a knock on him. That's actually more probably a points to his upside, actually. You know, there's quite a few guys out there that maybe they are what they are. They're not necessarily finished products, but you know what they're going to be like in the future. With Kamario, you really don't know yet. You know, you maybe know the style that he's going to be, but you don't know his ceiling yet. And that can be fairly exciting for, you know, fans and coaches. And when you're looking at his future, there are questions to be answered, but they're not necessarily bad questions. It's just truly going to be one of those guys that it probably starts to scratch, you know, his surface or his potential when he gets to the next level and gets in that environment and that setting. So, yeah, I would say definitely an athlete. You know, he's a really big kid, and like I said, a really big arm. But you know, he really doesn't even know what he's doing with it yet. So that's, you know, pretty exciting to go, you know, as far as pointing to his future with, you know, especially with the offense he's going to be playing in and being in the SEC.
You know that no college player or any kind of player can be the first of anything, right? We always have to have a comp for everybody. So who's the comp for Kamario Taylor?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Wow. I'm trying to think of something, someone with definitely a big arm.
Say Cam Newton. I think everybody who's listening to the podcast would be thrilled.
It's not the furthest thing from the truth. That's certainly true. You know, he's not initially as big as Cam. Once he gets the weight room, when he gets to Starkville, who knows what he turns into, but I mean, yeah, I mean, we can go there. We're talking about a big kid here. He's not going to be easy to bring down. You know, I don't know what he's going to look like as a runner, but being in that offense, I'm sure that he's going to run a little bit. And you know, at Elite 11, we don't get to see much of the legs being worked out. It's all about the arm in this one. But you know, he's one of those guys that certainly, if running was a part of this, and this was a full padded deal, you know, his stock would have been much higher even coming out, and it's not low by any means. It's just you know, he was only able to show one part of his game, and some guys don't run, so all they have is their arm. But, you know, we only got to see one part of what he can do. And yeah, I mean, Cam Newton's probably not that far off, which is, you know, crazy to say for any comparison. So yeah, you might have hit that one on the head as far as what he may do over the time of his development.
Well, if Rivals is hiring for evaluators, man, just off send me my resume.
We can look into that.
You mentioned the offense, and you know, Jeff Lebby's offense is known for putting up big numbers at the quarterback position, and not necessarily with guys who have become high NFL draft choices. Mackenzie Milton, not an NFL guy. Mm-hmm. Matt Corral was down in the draft and hasn't made an impact yet. Dylan Gabriel, we'll see what happens with him. Do you like this, the fit of the Jeff Lebby offense, this veer and shoot offense for Kamario Taylor's talents?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the main conversations we had about Kamario Taylor, you know, at the event was, yeah, this is going to work for him. This is going to fit. He's going to sling the ball around the field. And, you know, that's what his arm is made for. And that's what Jeff Lebby, like you said, they're going to put up points. And his arm is made to put up points and move down the field. So, now there's going to be aspects of his game that he's going to need to, you know, maybe add or develop. And I think a little bit, maybe is the short game, and, you know, putting some touch on some things, and, you know, his accuracy is going to need to get a little bit better. But again, he, like I said, he's an athlete playing quarterback. He's going to figure it out. And with his arm, he's almost a little bit too strong for himself. So as he learns the game of football and Jeff Lebby is able to get him in that system, and, you know, he's out there seeing what, you know, learning what he's supposed to be doing, that arm is going to, you know, fall exactly where it needs to be. So yeah, he definitely has the body type and the play style to put up points. And, you know, Jeff Lebby should be very, very happy that he's headed there.
It's, you know, the state of Mississippi produces a lot of talent year in and year out in every recruiting cycle, but it's rare that we have two elite quarterbacks in this state at the same time. Mm-hmm. You had two at this competition with Taylor and with Deuce Knight. Out of George County High School. He's committed to Notre Dame. It feels like just on the surface that Knight is the more polished prospect, that if he had to go in, he could play maybe as a freshman. Taylor needs some seasoning. Am I right on that? Is there sort of maybe a higher ceiling on Taylor, but you know what you're getting with Knight?
Yeah, that's 100% correct. Deuce Knight is just more of a quarterback right now. He's more polished. And that's not necessarily saying that, like you said, Kamario might have a higher upside. Now, Deuce Knight is going to have a big upside. I mean, he's another big, big athlete. Now, he's starting from the left side. So our comparison for him and what a lot of people have thrown out there is, you know, maybe a version of just went to the Falcons. I'm blanking on his name now. Was that Washington? Michael Penix.
Oh, Penix.
So there might be a comparison to Penix for Deuce Knight. But basically they're not that far off as athletes. I mean, Deuce Knight tests fantastic as an athlete. You know, he's got the bounce, and he's got the explosiveness, and Kamario Taylor's maybe not as explosive as an athlete, but he's certainly got the size. And, you know, again, I think he's not as polished as Deuce, but, you know, once he gets into that system and gets on a college campus and gets in that weight room, you're going to see him look like $1 million. And so, you know, I wouldn't put it past Kamario to play early. He definitely has the arm for it. But, you know, again, they're going to have to see him, you know, probably add a little bit to his game in terms of that, you know, slowing it down a little bit at times and honing in some accuracy, which Deuce has been able to do so far. You know, I think he's had a little bit more structure around him in his game. So, Kamario will get there, and you know, I have no doubt that he'll get there pretty quickly when he gets on a college campus.
What do you think about Jeff Lebby as a recruiter? State, you know, has been really hot on the recruiting trail. They picked up 13 commitments in the last 2 weeks, and they're rumored to be picking up 3 or 4 more in the coming days. You know, Lebby came to Mississippi State with kind of the reputation of a guy who enjoys the recruiting process, and he's hired some guys on his staff that are known as good recruiters. He had one on staff with Chad Bumpus. Lebby, the recruiter, can he be a guy who elevates State from a consistent, you know, top 25 to 30 kind of recruiting team to a more of a top 20 team?
Yeah, I think so over time. And it may take a couple years to get there just with the way that recruiting works. And, you know, to recruit, you have to win. And so, I mean, we don't know what Mississippi State's going to look like this year necessarily. So, you know, it might take a couple years for that program to get, you know, kind of some momentum rolling with the way they want to. And, Now, I mean, with the way things are going and with his offense, they're going to put up points. And now to win games, you need to put up points. You only see so many teams that are out there with a full defensive mindset, you know, that are going to drag games and win them, you know, 10-7, 14-10 kind of games. That's not what you're going to see very much. So I think if Mississippi State is putting up points and you know, they have big time playmakers on the perimeter and at quarterback, yeah, he's going to be able to recruit. And it's the SEC, and if they're in competition with some of those big teams, which they're going to be for scoring points, yeah, he's going to be able to get things rolling and, you know, be a top 15, top 20, you know, recruiting team on a regular basis. And so I just think it may take a couple years to go from that, you know, 35-30 to 25-20 kind of range. But, you know, a couple guys like Kamario Taylor are going to be the ones that, you know, convince others to come. So when guys play with Kamario, they see that big arm, and those receivers love that stuff. So, you know, depending on how early he plays, there's going to be some young guys that want to, you know, jump on the boat with him.
Well, speaking of that, we can't do a national recruiting analyst interview and not talk about the number one player in the state, Caleb Cunningham, the five-star receiver out of Choctaw County. Announced he was going to make a July decision, which was a change. He'd been talking about taking it all the way to signing day. I don't think that an early decision necessarily favors Mississippi State. I think State will be in it till the end. I know, you know, that he's on this campus a lot, visiting unofficially, visiting Stonka Burnside and J.J. Harrell, who are his big friends from the last class. I think right now Alabama has a lot of momentum. What do you know about the recruitment of Caleb Cunningham? What do you expect? Do you expect him to make that decision in July? And what do you expect that decision to be?
You know, he's a tough one to read, and I think a lot of it's because he makes it tough to read. I mean, he's a lot of visits that he's taken. He's come out and publicly said, you know, this school or that school is number one, and he's said that about a few different schools. So, I mean, I don't think
every visit he takes, Marshall, that's the number one school the next day.
Yeah. A lot of times, I mean, some guys are like that. I mean, he may be, you know, he may be playing up to the media a little bit and everything, or he may be, you know, coming off some post-visit highs and feeling that way about a lot of different places. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he commits before the season. A lot of guys like to get it over with, but, you know, his recruitment will certainly not be over, you know, until signing day, until pen to paper. So, yeah, they'll be in it for the long run, but I think Alabama right now is probably the team to watch the most.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you there, but I think State will recruit him until the day ink hits paper for sure. Marshall
100%.
Levinson. Yeah, Marshall Levinson, Rivals and Yahoo Sports National Recruiting Analyst. Thanks so much for your time, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks to Marshall. Appreciate his time. Really good stuff. You've seen Kamario Taylor, obviously covering high school football here in this state. I made a Cam Newton reference in that interview. I was like, you know, I know he's not there yet.
Whoa.
I know. That's where I went. I was like, but is that – I asked for a comp, and I was like, when I look at the size and the arm, I mean, that's the first name that's going to come to mind, right?
I just don't know about the running part. I've always compared him to Jason Campbell.
Okay.
That's been my guy.
Now, Campbell not necessarily known as a great runner like that either.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't think Kamario is going to be a guy – I think he can scramble.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to be a guy that runs like – I mean, Cam was a different kind of breed.
I think about this offense and what Corral was able to do. He rushed for like 600 yards. Could Kamario Taylor be that guy?
I think Corral's probably a little more swift.
Okay.
But he can definitely get out of the pocket and move the pocket. I mean, you're not talking about statue there. I just don't think that running the ball is like his forte. He's gonna chunk it around the yard a little bit. What was that guy's comp?
He liked the Cam Newton comp, actually.
Oh, okay.
He's like, you know, he's like, obviously he's not there yet, but could he project to be somebody on that tier? Yeah. He was very high on him. Now, he did give him the athlete playing quarterback label.
I'll say this about him. When he's out on the field, he looks like what Cam used to look like, where he was just a man among the boys.
Yeah.
I mean... It looks so effortless for him. I called his state championship game. I'd seen him earlier in the year against Starkville, and I came away really impressed with him against Starkville. But some of the throws he was making against Winona, you just don't see in the state of Mississippi. I mean, it was, you know, 60-yard darts. And I don't know what his ceiling is because I don't think he's anywhere close. So I don't really know what he's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
the arm talent is unlike anything I've seen at Mississippi State ever. I don't think there's been a quarterback to compare him to at Mississippi State. There just hasn't been that many guys come in like that that have that kind of arm talent. I mean, I don't even know who's close. You know, I mean, Mike Hennig threw the ball really hard and could throw it far. But this is a different kind of guy. I mean, this guy's he's a monster. He is a monster in the making. And like I said, he's not anywhere close. I think that most everybody at Elite 11 was far more polished than he was.
Including Deuce Knight.
Yes. And, you know, it's just part of the deal. This is a guy that is still kind of growing into his body. He's been playing at Knoxby, which is not known for being, you know, an air raid type offense, but they can air it out. They've got some really good talent at receiver. So, you know, I think that this guy's not even close to where he's going to be.
Is the best case scenario for him come in next year, State either has another year of shaping or they go back to the portal for another guy, and then as a redshirt freshman, he might be ready to go?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, just from a pure talent standpoint, I just don't see it being that tough for him to translate that to this level. Is why he is, you know, where he is right now in the rankings. And a lot of people believe that he's going to move up in the rankings.
That was my next question. Do you think by the end of this, I don't think he's a five-star, but could he be a higher four-star?
I don't know if he'll ever get to five-star status. No, I think the talent level, you know, the possibilities wouldn't shock me to see him in a few years being, you know, one of the higher-rated quarterbacks in college game. But I just don't foresee that happening this year. We'll see. But you got to remember, too, you know, Michael O'Brien's in there, and that's a guy that I think fits this offense perfectly. So I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for him to come in here either. And you still got Chris Parson, who's not going to go down without a fight. You've just upgraded your talent at that position tremendously the last couple years. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Blake Shapen and that quarterback room next year. But ideally, next year you have another, if not Blake Shapen, you have another transfer guy that can kind of bridge the gap. Because right now I don't know if I look in that room and say, you know, Chris Parson or Michael O'Brien is going to be ready next year to kind of hold that burden. But ideally, that's what you have is another older guy again next year.
Yeah,
and then turn it over to the younger guys.
We shall see. Very interesting to see this state have two elite quarterbacks. I mean, so rarely that there's one.
Yeah.
You know, one guy that are like that you're really interested in.
I think the state has lacked, like, quarterback training.
Yeah.
And I think that that's starting to improve. I believe that because I've always said this about the state, it's no offense to the coaching here. Or anything like that. These coaches are trying to win championships for their team. They're not all developing these players like they might get in the state of Georgia or Texas or someplace like that. So a lot of times it's the trainers that are important. I think Wyatt Davis is doing a really good job. A guy from the coast that I've talked to a lot, he's trained a lot of these quarterbacks. Deuce and Camario, I think, both have trained with him. Trained Trey Petty, a lot of these quarterbacks. I think he's helping the game a lot. Just having a guy that can work with them mechanically.
They just had a big camp down in Hattiesburg.
They did. That's his
Deuce
camp.
Deuce Knight was out there.
That's Wyatt's camp, I believe.
Yeah.
So Wyatt's doing a great job. Hat tip to him. That's what the state has needed more, is those guys that are investing in the athletes and developing their individual game. And I know a lot of people look down on those guys. And there's some of them that have a bad rap, and some of them that maybe they deserve it. I don't know. I don't know what their personal lives are, so I can't speak on that. But people look at trainers, and they kind of look at them as handlers. I don't think some of these guys are doing that. I think they're doing a really good job of developing these players, and that's why you're starting to see, you know, even Trey Petty, he's a Power 5 guy, you know, and You know, Luke Altmyer before him at Starkville. You know, Mississippi State offered Trey Petty.
Mm-hmm.
So these, you're seeing that position, I think, get elevated a little bit beyond just the athlete tab or the potential tab. You're actually seeing those guys progress in high school now. You know, Deuce Knight has had an even bigger summer, I think, than Camario at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if he would, but he's really elevated his stock. I think Deuce and Camario are going to have really good college careers before it's all said and done. Both of them are having really good summers and progressing well.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think the state of Mississippi is going to be blessed with good quarterback play this year. And both of those guys, I think, will be quite good at the next level. But we shall see. All right, tomorrow's show, we've got an SEC preview. We have tomorrow. Well, we got to skip a couple, so we're going to be at Missouri on tomorrow's show. We'll talk a little more football, a little more, probably some baseball tomorrow. Maybe a little bit of baseball recruiting or lack thereof. However you want to. Well, we'll see how that goes for us. All right, guys, have a good one. Talk to you again tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.